If you have your Bibles tonight and would like to follow along, I want to look at 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Appreciate so very much you being with us this evening. I hope it's been a good afternoon for you and restful for you, and you have plans for the week. But it's also good to be able to come together again on the Lord's Day evening and be able to sing that I know that my Redeemer, the one who purchased me with His blood, I know that my Redeemer lives. It's good to be able to be with a group of people that enjoy those songs and are edified by it. In 2 Timothy, I won't read all of it, so I guess I'll just have to break it down in the points I was wanting to make. Paul makes what is thought to be Paul's last letter. And there are some who think maybe Titus was last or maybe another letter, but most people believe that Paul wrote 2 Timothy and that was his last effort. And it just seems like I've always liked to read it and think different thoughts of the things that are going on. We don't know everything that, of course, all of them, I guess, are this way. We don't know every single thing they might have had in mind when they were writing something to somebody, but we can learn lessons from them. And then that's the good thing about it. So when we come to the 4th chapter, Paul's writing to the young preacher, and I'm depending upon you to recall that it seems as though Timothy might have had some confidence issues sometimes, or maybe some hesitancy about preaching the gospel, yet had the ability and the talent and the conviction to stand for the truth, but Paul would earnestly encourage him to preach the truth and be that type of a person. And that I think that's exactly what he's done here in this last chapter as he begins. Verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And also, I'm depending upon you. We've all read this before. You know what he's going to say next. He has a very serious charge here for a young gospel preacher. And secondly, he's going to tell him, because I think my days on this earth are about to come to an end. And that's why he tells them in verses 6, 7, and 8, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I fought a good fight, kept the faith. I've finished the course and kept the faith. He's telling him he's going to die. And of course, in the third chapter, it's just interesting to me, because when he gets the third point, beginning about verse 9, he gets personal and concerned personally for Timothy and what Timothy could do for him and what he might be able to do for Timothy. So you could just spend so much time. Well, you know, we've all heard wonderful lessons in the first five verses there. I charge you therefore before God. Just think about it. He's telling another gospel preacher, and he's telling him in words that you would probably tell to someone who's never heard the gospel before, that there is a God in heaven, that there is a Lord Jesus Christ who will judge the living and the dead. And those are things they need to know, and that He will one day appear and draw all nations to Him. But here He is saying, He said, Timothy, He said, I'm charging you. He says, before God. And that's really what He gets down to with every one of us. And I think that's probably the lesson for us, is that 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul in a Roman prison wrote a letter to a young preacher, and he told him something that every one of us need to always remember, is the charge he gave Timothy. And that charge was before God. And we will all stand before God and be judged of God. It's not a game. It's not a joke. It is the very determination of our eternity. And he's saying, Timothy, he's almost wanting to remind him of this. Timothy, you've got an ability, you've got a talent. This is something you need to do. And so he says in the second verse, preach the word. Be ready at all times to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering. Preach the word. That's the only thing that will help anybody. It seems like so many times I can pick up articles and I can pick up books of people who are writing things about the Bible and they want to make points about the Bible. And I mean, just two or three or four paragraphs into the article, this is not for me. I want to talk about the Bible. Show me what the Bible says. Let me make a point about the Bible I haven't seen or heard before in a way that I can apply my life to the Lord in a more acceptable way. And that's what Paul is saying. Preach the word and be ready to do that. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Understanding there will be many people who don't care to listen to what you've got to say. People who will just refuse it right out. He said, preach it, though, with all long-suffering. Be that type of a person. That doesn't mean you have to be ugly about it. Doesn't mean you have to be spitting on somebody or degrading them to the hellfires before judgment day. He just says, I charge you. You preach the word. I don't care what else you do, you preach the word. And that's the most important thing. And we need to remind ourselves of that. I told you before when I first started preaching, Bob Bolton was the preacher where we were, and he had a little plaque right up there, just like that, right in front of the microphone, and it said, preach the word. And if you weren't ready to preach the word, that could be intimidating. But if you could preach the word, that would be exactly what Bob wanted and what Bob wanted to hear. He says, I charge you, preach the word, for the time will come. Why would we want to preach the word? Why would Paul have to charge a young preacher to preach the word? Because, for the most part, people don't want to hear that, do they? They got a lot of things to do, and then they've got things to take up 24 hours a day. And there has to be this purpose and resolve in heart and mind to understand that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Do you think that time has come in our day and time, in our country, in our state, in our town right here? I think it came a long time ago, didn't it? I mean, we've got a nation in which, for the most part, people have got what they want, what they need. You've got something to eat and where to live. You've got a cool, mostly cool in the summer, warm in the winter. And you watch Cowboys and Rangers play, and that's just about it. That's the way a lot of people look at it. He said, they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. They want to hear what they want to hear. It was that way 2,000 years ago. It's that way today. Because they have itching ears, and they desire to have someone to placate to them. I mean, what Paul is saying 2,000 years ago is as appropriate as today. And we have to do some talking to ourselves so many times. Study the Word. Learn the Word. In verse 4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, which is probably the outcome of them having itching ears. They will turn to what they truly want and be satisfied with that. But it says, and be turned aside to fables, but you, it's almost like he's got 3 points. He says, I charge you. And then in verse 2, he says, preach the word, be ready. And then in verse 5, but you be watchful in all things. You watch yourself. You watch your attitude. You watch the difficulties and trials that you may face. You be the person that encourages and points people to the gospel again. Preach the word. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. How many times do you think Timothy heard Paul say anything like that? I don't know how long Paul and Timothy had been associated. Maybe 15 years, maybe 10 years. maybe less, depending on what you think the age is of Timothy. But I'm sure he was a mature adult. He was able to carry on the work that the Apostle Paul wanted him to do, and he could send him to far-flung parts of the empire. So I don't imagine him being 13 or 16. I imagine he was a grown man able to do things, but he also lived in a real world that had a lot of things coming at you, just like in our world. And so it's just great to study what Paul is concerned about the young preacher. He says, I charge you, preach the word, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but you be watchful in all things. Fulfill your ministry. Boy, that's a great sermon right there. And then just like that, he changes, doesn't he? So why am I charging you? Why am I telling you to preach the word? Why am I telling you to be watchful in all things? He says, because I'm about to walk off the stage and you're going to be the one having to carry the load. You're going to have to be the one encouraging those younger preachers, those younger teachers, those mothers and fathers who are struggling with families. You're going to have to be the one doing that. And you're going to have to take my word that you have and apply it to them. Paul says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. And he says, the time of my departure is at hand. He says, I've fought a good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. How many times have preachers read that at a funeral? But there will be laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The word crown is Stephanos. It's the victor's crown. It's not the royal crown, but it's the victor's crown. You have won. And it is a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to also all who have loved his appearing. It's almost like what Paul was recognizing. Maybe things were changing in the structure of the court system of Rome. And he's, as you read down at verse 16, to get a little bit ahead of myself. In verse 16, he said, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged to them. You recall what happened to Paul in the latter years of his life. He was preaching in Israel, and he was preaching to some higher-up officials, Roman officials, and got into Caesarea and wound up in prison. Paul was a very, well, I guess all gospel preachers would be, but mainly Paul would have been a very inflammatory preacher. But he's preaching Jesus Christ. He's preaching another king. Imagine walking into some town in Rome and saying, there is another king, an eternal king, to which all of us must bow down. Or he'd be preaching against somebody's business, idolatry was a huge business, the making of idols. And Paul would be preaching against that in other places. I mean, an entire riot broke out in a city over in Ephesus over that idea. And then also he'd be preaching about morality, homosexuality, all kinds of things. I mean, Paul could walk into a town and within just a few days, he could be the very lightning rod of everything in town looking and focusing up on him. And so, Paul would recognize here in the Roman prison, if you look back in the first chapter, he makes the statement that he had been treated in a way that was not acceptable. We'll talk about that later. I'm sorry. Let me get back to my fourth chapter. He's saying, Timothy, I want you to think on this. I charge you this. I just preach the word. Be watchful in all things because I'm not long for this world. And there's a great changeover coming from what the apostles taught to what mankind must depend upon in what they wrote and what they preached. And people like Timothy could remember what they said and he could preach those things, but he also would depend on what was written. Kind of like back in Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians, the third chapter. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Well, that's what we've got to do today. We've got to point people back to this. What Paul wrote, what Paul understood, what Peter understood, what James, John, all the rest. We need to point people to this in opposition to what Paul is saying back here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And yet Paul is saying, I'm going to be stepping away from the historical events that are happening in the world, and it's going to be carried on by you who take what I've written and teach others to apply it to their lives and be people who recognize that one day we will be judged by what the apostles taught from the day of Pentecost on. That's so very important. Then we come to the third part. Paul seemed to have had three thoughts in mind, and that was charge Timothy, first and foremost, you've got to preach the gospel. You've got to preach it like I did, and it's time to step up. We take different roles. We have many things, different things come our way. We all have to deal with them, different for every person in every person's life. We have to deal with them in the cause of Christ. And Timothy, I want you. He said, I'm charging you this. Preach the word and be watchful in all things because I'm about ready to be poured out. My departure is at hand. But it becomes personal, doesn't it? And that's the interesting part. I mean, the first few verses is it's just like a charge from a general. He said, I want you to do this. I charge you. Preach the word. Be ready, instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. And the reason for that is I am not long for this world. But then in verse 9, he says, be diligent to come to me quickly. And we don't know what's happening here, but this seems like there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. In verse 10, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens is for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Verse 11, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. All of a sudden it breaks down into instructions of, I need you to do this. I need you to get this done. I want you to bring this. I want you to accomplish these things and do it before winter. When you read in verse 21, do your utmost to come before winter. So you have verse 9, be diligent to come to me quickly. Or when you read down at verse 13, is it? He says, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments, which is interesting, considering what he just said in verse 6, 7, and 8. But he says, be diligent to come to me quickly. And then in verse 13, bring some things, go by and talk to Carpus at Troas, bring some things. And then in verse 21, do your utmost to come before winter. Like I said, we may not understand everything that was happening here in all of these people's lives. It seemed like Paul was in the center of all of it. But we can sure learn some great lessons when he just says, I charge you, preach the word. Or I'm ready to be poured out and the time of my departure has come. And his attitude toward his death was, I fought a good fight and I finished the course and I've kept the faith. henceforth what? There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's just the way Paul looked at it. That was Paul's attitude about it. But then, just like that, he would change. But I need you to do some things before this happens. And it's kind of like, I guess, summed up in verse 21. Just do your utmost to come before winter. And that can be special to us. There's so many things that we have to do before winter. And maybe not in our society today, but we recognize there's things we've got to get done at certain times. And if we don't get them done, we're not going to get them done. It's not going to work. And here's Timothy beseeching, or Paul beseeching Timothy, come as soon as possible. I need you quickly. And it may have been nothing more than Paul wanted to give Timothy a face-to-face farewell. Wanted to talk to him more about this. Could have been that. Could have been that he needed some things, maybe the parchments or the books. He wanted to finish some letters that he had begun. And Timothy had them for some reason. It could have been that. It could be that he was just trying to prepare all of those who had worked with him. And there's no telling how many people at one time worked with the Apostle Paul. You go over and read the last chapter of Romans. I don't know how many people he mentions over there just by name of people he knew that worked with him at different times and different places. And like I said, we don't have an exhaustive New Testament to define everything that happened. There's people that come and go in the lives of Paul. People kind of secondary, kind of like Barnabas and Silas and Titus and people like that. You look them up and they'll do amazing things for a few chapters like Silas. Silas was selected to go with Paul in Acts 15 to go on some journeys, and he worked with Paul from chapter 15, 16. And in 18, you don't see or hear from him again. And we don't know what happened. And we can't put a negative connotation on it or a positive. It's just that there are these people that appear here, there, and yonder. And yet, we can see from the writings of the apostles, there are things that we should be aware of, and maybe we can learn lessons from that. I don't know who this character in verse 14 is, Alexander the coppersmith, who created so much trouble for the Apostle Paul. But I would suggest to you there probably are quite a few Alexander coppersmiths out there in the world today that we would have to be concerned about and watch ourselves around him. Just come before winter. I mean, we could do a whole sermon on that. You could do a whole sermon just on I charge you, preach the word. Or a whole sermon just on I have fought a good fight and finished the course and kept the faith. Or come before winter. There's things, I guess every farmer knows that. There are just some things you've got to do at a certain time of the year. And if you don't do it, you're not going to get it done. And some things that you wouldn't understand. Dad used to tell me that in June or July in the year, they'd go out in the woods somewhere and find a big tree and saw it down and just let it lay there. And then, July, August, September. And he said sometime in the middle of October, they'd go back out there and saw it all up in firewood and take it back to the house. Well, I wouldn't know how to do that, but that's what he said they did every year. It was just that way, and there would be sometimes deep in the winter, you couldn't get a wagon out in the woods. So, I mean, I think there are people like maybe farmers who understand there are some things that just can't be done at certain times, and yet with regard to the Bible, this idea, do your utmost to come before winter, and I think Timothy probably did. If he didn't, he would understand the things that happen in life. I'm sure he would like to speak to Paul. But there's so many things through the Bible that we could talk about, just this idea of come before winter. Or in other words, like over in Matthew, the 25th chapter, the story of Jesus, where he is talking about the young virgins and the parable of the wise virgin. He said, verse 25, Matthew 25, verse 1, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom, and some were foolish and didn't prepare. And the bridegroom came back, and they weren't prepared, and they were left out." You know the story. And when you read down at verse 13, Jesus' point of the parable of the wise and foolish virgins was, verse 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." You got to get some things done in life, and it's got to be done now. And if it's not done now, it needs to be done today, because there's coming a time in which we don't have the ability to do that. In other words, we can't sleep our way to being prepared, can we? That's what was happening here. And yet this idea of come before winter demands of us that. We can't expect somebody else to do what's our ability to do, and as a servant of the Lord to do. We don't have a second chance at some of these things. There's a lot of things in life we might have a second chance at. But it's not just maybe here. If you went Matthew with me, look back at Matthew, the 5th chapter. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 24, just another simple statement of Jesus. Matthew 5, verse 23. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you," verse 24, "leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary." Take advantage of understanding I can take care of issues here. It's the call to make things right. Maybe something was said that was wrong or misunderstanding, but let not that go on between brethren and sisters and brothers in Christ. You've got to take care of some things before winter. And if we don't, they won't get done. Let's see. John, the 12th chapter. There's one, a great scene there of Jesus before he is crucified. John, the 12th chapter, verse 1. "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was the one who of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil, but there was a problem. One of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' And this he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used it to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, 'Let her alone.'" That's about all you need to say about it. Jesus said, "Let her alone." The opportunity we have to do some things must be done when we have the opportunity to do it, because the next couple of days Jesus would be arrested and crucified. He would not be able to anoint, she would not be able to anoint him for the coming crucifixion and his death. Opportunity for Mary was to honor Jesus just at that time, but it would have been lost forever if it had not been done. Come before winter. The call to us so many times is to take care of things right now. To obey the gospel of Christ is an important thing. We obey the gospel today. Come before winter. If there is this attitude that I need to make things right with God, if I need to obey the gospel, if I need to stand and confess wrongdoing and ask for the prayers of the brethren, I need to do this. The opportunity may not always be available. There is this saying that used to be heard years ago, tomorrow belongs to the devil, but today is God's day. And they were making the point that all we have is today. There's not a Bible verse anywhere that tells us to obey the Lord tomorrow. It says you obey Him today. There are just things we have to get done. It's part of our life, and it's part of the things that we have to do because, as James said in James 4, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For our life is but a vapor and appearing for a little time. Well, there's so many wonderful thoughts there in that last chapter of the book of 2 Timothy. And there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of demands on the part of Paul. He says, you preach the word, Timothy. And then just to have to announce the time of my departure has come. That's not easy, but it's what he said. But he said, also, you need to do some things for me and recognize there's a lot of things in life that must be done before winter comes. And we need to do that. And that really gets down to us individually. Now, that's enough for tonight. If you're here and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, we extend to you heaven's invitation. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It's that simple, but it's that serious. And as I said already, there may be someone who just desires the prayers of the brethren for some reason or occasion. If you're subject this evening, would you please come as we stand and sing?